If you're just getting started, 1 John, go to the very end of your Bible. Go to the very end, go to the maps, and then start backing up. Or use your tabs. Yeah, there you go. It's been our custom. It's been our practice for lots of years since we started meeting together when there was 8 of us to all the way to when there's how many ever we got now. I quit counting after I had to take off my shoes to count. So it's been our custom. What we did was at the beginning is have a time where folks could get things off their chest. I've said it this way. We breathe out so we can breathe in. 1 Peter will say it this way, cast your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. And that word cares there, it's anxiety. Cast your anxieties on the Lord. And I know, I hear us, well, the Bible says don't be anxious, and so I can't admit to being anxious. Okay, do you realize that's not how it works? When He says, don't be anxious. He understands you're anxious and He's trying to give you a way out of that anxiety. So we talk about, if you're anxious, this is a time to cast those things on the Lord, to let them out. Now, a lot of times, we just do it, just whatever is our cares are. And we'll do that. You're welcome to do that. In this place, you can do that. If you want to say something, if you've been here every time we've met, or if this is your first time here, you're welcome to cast your cares on the Lord. But that's what we do first. This morning, though, I want us to direct it a little bit. And this one's not going to be easy. So I'm telling you ahead of time, those of us who are here on a regular basis, I can't say normal because I don't know any of you that are normal, but those of us who are on a regular basis, I'm going to direct us a little bit this morning and push us. Because I think sometimes, because we do this on a regular basis, we stop working at it. We stop letting it be an exercise, and we don't get the benefit of it. So today, we're going to let the Lord direct us a bit, and then see if we can get some benefit out of it. You got your Bibles open. It's 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. You can read along with me if you want to, or you can just listen. The exercise we're going to do is in that last verse, okay? Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard His coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You have any idea why I'd want to pause after that verse? Those of you who are practiced here, or a regular here, know I'm going to come back to that and want you to underline it, circle it, memorize it, tattoo it on your forehead backwards so you can read it when you look in the mirror. One more time. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. All right. Now God bless the reading of His Word. And if nothing else gets said, let's hear those words, right? But here's our exercise. Before we study, before we do any discuss, any fuss, cuss, discuss about any of this, let's take that last phrase. He says there is a spirit of truth in the world, and I think, to me, obviously, that's talking about the Spirit of God. He revealed God's truth to us, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But he said then there's also a spirit of falsehood. All right? In this room, in this room are people who have, what's a nice way to say it? Have made a mess of some things. In this room are people who have wrecked their lives and have damaged other people. And I'm raising my hand, not expecting you to even. And the reason that happens is because we listen to a spirit of falsehood. We listen to the lies. What I want us to do this morning, the exercise I want us we start with, is what are the lies that you heard? What are the lies that you heard, that you listened to, that you followed, that got you in such a bind? What were the lies that cost you so much, that damaged so much? Now, this one's not easy. Because what you got to do when you do this one is you got to admit that you listened to the lie. I'm not talking theory. I do not want theory. I don't want Sunday school, Bible class stuff that says, well, I know it is a spirit of lie that the devil is a liar and he's a liar from the beginning. That's true. Bible says so. John chapter 8, you find it. It's left-hand page, right-hand page, left-hand margin. It's right there. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm talking to the lie that you listen to. Like the lie I listened to. What lie did you listen to? What lie did you believe? What lie did you accept that caused the pain in your life? That caused you to... And it may have been... You may have just may have had a hiccup in your life. You may have crashed and burned like I did. Or you may have just messed up a little bit. Or nobody even may know. And that may be even hard for you to admit because nobody knows about your mess up. But whether it was public or private, whether it was major to the point of it changed your life or changed somebody else's life, what was the lie? What are the lies that we listened to? What are the lies that damaged us?
It's really silly now. And it didn't damage me at the time, but it set off a chain of events. But when I was 15, somebody told me that smoking pot would open up all these new worlds and give you a new way of thinking, and everybody's doing it. And I was so stupid. And so I did. And I'll tell you what, it didn't open up any new worlds,
yeah.
New doors, or none that I wanted to go through.
Yeah, it opened up some trap doors, didn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And anybody in here? Well, I know you, except for a few visitors. I know most of you, and I'm telling you, that story could be repeated, couldn't it? Doesn't have to be. You don't have to say it out loud. But the truth is, somebody lied to us. Somebody lied to us and said, this is a good thing. And we even had the discussion about, well, it's all natural, and God created it, and it's wonderful. And it damaged us. It damaged us, and it destroyed relationships. It put us in situations where sometimes it seems like we can't recover. Good thing about the gospel is we can recover. If we can't recover reputation, if we can't recover the past we lost, we can recover His promises. That's what matters. Okay? What lies did you hear? What lies did you listen to?
You deserve certain things. You have a right to certain things.
And since you have that right,
then your pride tells you to go and take it. Go and take
it. Yep, your pride tells you go ahead and try it. Go ahead and take it. Or if you really think it's yours, anybody that stands in your way becomes secondary, and getting what you think you deserve becomes primary. It's more important than anything else. What does that lead to? What does listening to that lie do to you?
It loses friends and alienates people.
Well, it alienates people, costs your friends. That rooted so much in selfishness, that lie is so damaging to yourself. You stop thinking about how other people feel and how other people need. And it gets to be, I've got to get this. This is what I want. This is what I deserve.
It lessens your dependency on Christ.
Oh, yeah. Because see, really, if I deserve it, I get it whether Jesus gives it to me or not, right? I don't have to wait on Jesus. I don't have to pray. I don't have to be patient. I'm in charge.
I was thinking that it sometimes robs you of better things.
Oh. Good point. Robs you of better things? Tell me a lie that you listened to, a lie that you believed.
On the flip side of that, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve anything. You're not good enough. You had your moment, you blew it, you're done. You're lukewarm. Spit you out. There's nothing left for you.
It would probably be true on about any of these that we mentioned. The flip side of it's also going to be true, but what Lisa's saying is right, isn't it? Because in here, I know us, in here there's people who do not believe that they deserve anything because of how they've messed up. And so it's hard to accept friendship again. It's hard to accept affection. It's hard to accept respect. It's hard to accept forgiveness. It's hard to accept God's promises even because you think, man, I messed up so bad, no way I can recover from that. What lie? What lies have we listened to? What lies have we obeyed? What lies have we found to be, this is, it just kind of defined our lives. What lies caused such a mess?
No one will ever find out.
Anybody want to testify to that one? Anybody want to hold up your hand and say, well, nobody will ever find out? And how much you believed that and how you kept that secret? And because you believe that, you did things that you knew you shouldn't have done because nobody would ever find out. And if somebody doesn't find out, that means it doesn't count. See, it doesn't count against you if nobody finds out, right? If nobody finds out, then you're not guilty, right? Wrong. No. God already knew, didn't He? Yeah.
For me, it was a lie that I fabricated myself and cultivated until I believed it, that what I was doing was for the sake of somebody else instead of the reality was it was for my own ego. And at the end of that, my ego got a boost and then I got shot. And it just destroyed a lot of things.
I don't know any of these lies that don't end up getting to this point, but we start believing them whether we let anybody else believe it or not. In fact, somebody else come up and ask me about some of these, I'd be able to answer them correctly and accurately and right then. But when it's me involved, that's not what's going on here. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm seeing. That's not what I'm... We deceive ourselves. We believe the lie. And if it does, like Justin said, and like it did in my case, gives you something of an ego. Pride always goes before the fall. The bigger your head gets, the louder the explosion is. Right? Lie that you believed. Linda, I appreciate you bringing that up because we talk so much in here and are so open in here about the big sins, the things that are so obvious, the things that have become public. What's real easy for us to do is, since I never did any of the biggies, as to overlook, while somebody's talking about adultery or somebody's talking about drug abuse or somebody's talking about, when somebody's talking about those big things, if I'm not dealing with those, and of course in my life I am, but you're talking about we, while other people are talking about those things that are so big and so grotesque, we hold on to some things inside us that cause us to be just as grotesque. Envy, jealousy, rage. You may never have shown them to anybody. Nobody may have ever caught you. But that's still damaging to you. And Linda said it right. And I appreciate her honesty. It damages the people around you because it makes them feel like they've not done enough or they can't do enough. Well, I never did this. Well, I'm glad you never did this. And you ought to thank God you never did this. But are there some things that you did do? You may never got caught, but are there some things you did do that you need to turn your heart over to God? What lied you believe?
That you could gain everyone's, or be liked by everyone, or gain everyone's praise. And that's not an easy one to do. Can't be everyone's cup of tea.
Point. I appreciate somebody saying it because at the root of a lot of the things we talked about, it's that idea. I want everybody to like me. I want to fit in with everybody. I want everybody to think I'm something special or I'm their friend. And that's not. It is really not that hard if you have one friend. If you have one friend, you can concentrate on keeping that friend happy. Now, they're not always happy with you, but you can always apologize and make everything okay, right? But then you get two, and it is, you're not hearing me say anything. There is no political agenda in what I'm about to say. But when I used to work in sending mission teams to places, it was a rule. We did not send three girls on a team. You could send three guys and they'd be the three musketeers. You'd send three girls and they would be the witches of Endor. I'm telling you, they could not get along with each other. You know why? Now, serious, you know why? Because some moment, these two girls are going to share a secret. Well, if these two girls share a secret, what does that leave this one? Which means she's not loved. She's hated. She shunned. It means nothing. They were talking, and you came into the room and saw them talking. Can you tell I've lived with some of this in my life? That lie that we were told that everybody has to like us. And ladies, let me say this for your benefit, ladies. I believe. And I don't know the root of it. I'm afraid of it. A lot of it is in early Christian teaching you had. And I really am trying to make sure I don't leave you with this impression. But some of you, bless your hearts, believe that if somebody is upset with you, it is your fault. No, it isn't. Now, if it is, accept it. Yep, it's my fault and live with it. But if it's not, don't wear that person's accusation. Don't wear their blame. You do not have to carry around their stuff. Yeah, but he's mad at me. So? He will get over it. Now, those two friends you got probably won't, but times... In this world, Satan started lying. Satan started lying early on. And the biggest and the worst lie told was the one that perpetuates all of these others. And it's, if we'd listen to him, we'd be wise as God. That's what happens. That's why we do what we do. That's why I did what I did. That's why we listen to these lies, is because somehow we think it's going to make us better, make us stronger, make us smarter. Because we're smarter, because we're more in control, more like God. I don't know what words you used, but Satan started that lie early on, and it's still going. It's still going. And Jesus wrote this letter to folks just like us. Wrote this letter to folks just like us through a friend of his named John. And John had a relationship with him that was a touch, hear, see kind of relationship. As close as you can be to Jesus, John was. And he writes this letter. Do you remember what he said from the very beginning? He said, I want you to have the same kind of relationship with Jesus that I had. I want you to be in that same fellowship with Jesus that I had and that I have. Because fellowship with Jesus doesn't change. You move from this room to that room, it doesn't change. John wanted us to have that fellowship with Jesus. And he says in this chapter, we have got to stop listening to the lies. The lies may have damaged you. The lies that you believed may have damaged other people. But whether you were the blame or someone else was to blame, we go back to God and let Him teach us how to deal with these lies, okay? Now, I'm going to ask us to sing a song. I want us to sing the song, Turn Our Hearts, O Lord. Let's sing that song as our prayer. And then we're going to go back to these words and let God help us learn how to ignore the lie and find the truth, how to avoid the lie and hang on to the truth, okay?
Turn my heart, O Lord, like rivers of water. Turn my heart, O Lord, by Your hands, till my whole life flows in the river of Your Spirit. And my name brings honor to the Lamb. Turn my heart, O Lord, like rivers of water. Turn my heart, O Lord, by Your hand, till my whole life flows in the river of Your Spirit, and my name brings honor to the Lamb.
I meant to do this first and didn't, and apology is not what's needed. That's the explanation, I guess. We talk about those kind of things, and sometimes it's as if I don't participate. I try to make it honest, obvious. It is, you know already, those of you who are here on a regular basis, know that I've listened to those lies and didn't just damage my own life. I damaged lots of people's lives, and so I'm aware of that. I've tried to, listening to what you said, I think probably identified with all of them, but I think the biggest lie, I don't know how to put that, one of the lies I listened to was when you're tired and you're in pain and you look for comfort, you can't entrust just anyone with that need for comfort, because sometimes it can lead to things it shouldn't lead to. And so we've got children here, so I'll be very delicate in the way I say this, but when you're in pain, it's easy to listen to the lie, and I did. and looked for that comfort and looked for that protection and looked for that rest in an untrustworthy place. And I hate it to this day. We read the verses, and there are enough of us that used to go to church together in other places. I'm going to say it. We have spent too much of our time, my opinion, we've spent too much of our time trying to figure out where these spirits came from instead of doing what Jesus said to do with them. I don't care where these spirits came from. I just want to do what Jesus said to do. And He said to prove them, test them. Now, we could have a whole class if you'd like. I shudder at it, but we have a whole class on where all these spirits came from. And we know where all of them came from and still won't be able to do what He said to do. So wouldn't it make sense that we just do what we're supposed to do with them? Right? What does He say do? Test them? Prove them? Because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. I do not have to put a personality. I do not have to put a face. I do not have to put a name to any of those spirits. You can call them influences if you want to in this particular regard. But you and I know it's true. That spirit against Christ, that's what the Antichrist is. That spirit against Christ was there in the world then, and it's still in the world now. Now, I'm not talking about what you hear on the TV. I'm not talking about necessarily what you hear on the radio about the Antichrist, and they want to put a personality, and they want to put a face, and they want to put a location. He didn't say it, so I'm not going to repeat it, okay? I'm not going to make it up. If He said it, I'd repeat it. But He just said they're false prophets that have gone out in the world, and what are they teaching? Look in the verse and tell me what the lie is. Now see, by making you look it up, I get a chance to take a deep breath.
Well, Matthew 24 says that the false prophets will show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
So there's deceivers out there. Now go back to 1 John and tell me, what are they teaching? Jesus. What exposes them to be false?
Jesus is not from God.
That's what He says. Every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus is not from God, this spirit is the Antichrist. Settled, right? Any spirit, any prophet, any influence, any preacher, any friend, relative, pastor, preacher, priest, rabbi, or feeling in my heart. And I've got my hand over my liver, I know. But that, you know what I mean, all right? Anything that is against Christ is not from God. So how do I know what is from Christ? And this is not that difficult. I mean, I think we've made it so complicated. How do we know? Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Ta-da! How easy is that? Any influence, any preacher that says anything other than Jesus came in the flesh and He came from God is this guy. Now, maybe we need a class on who all those people are. But I don't know who all those people are, so I'd have a hard time telling you who they are. Because they hadn't told me if they believe that or not. So what I have to do is just, let me put it to you this way. My mother taught me this a long time ago, and it's a worthy lesson even now. She started working at a bank, went to some school about counterfeit money. I was thrilled with that thought, hoping she'd bring some back. I didn't have any untoward plans, but my brothers might have made use of that, you know. I wanted to see some counterfeit money. She didn't bring any counterfeit money back. When I asked her about it, she said, we saw some, but what we did mostly was we studied the real stuff. I said, what? You went to learn about counterfeit money. And all they showed you was the real stuff? She said, yeah, they made us look at it, smell it, touch it, memorize it, you know. That didn't make sense to me. Why would you do that? And then she made one simple, real clear statement. You already know what it is. What is it? Anything that's not real is counterfeit. It's fake. So what you want to get to know is the real stuff. I hope we never spend any time in this place going down the list of all the people that don't believe what they're supposed to believe. Because the truth is, I'm the only one that better believe what I'm supposed to believe. And I need to make sure I get that right. That I make sure that I listen to God. That I make sure that I understand that Jesus came from the Lord and that He came in the flesh. So if you know the real thing, anything that's not real is fake. So when you know that Jesus Christ came in the flesh from God, then you know the truth about that issue. Now, are there some other issues? Yes, and we made a list of the lies earlier. I mean, we expressed them, didn't we? There's a whole bunch of other things out there that affect this, but in this text, he's talking about, did Jesus come in the flesh or not? I'm settled on that issue. Are you? You good to go? Well, what about these people that teach? I don't know about them. I'll let you worry about them, and I'd encourage you to leave them alone and you focus on you. Just start making sure you hang on to Jesus, because here's the point. Verse 4. You, dear children, are from God. Anything that tries to take you away from God is fake. It's a lie. It's a damning influence, so you avoid it. You avoid it, whatever it is. If it's any kind of teaching, or if it's any kind of teacher, if it's any kind of friend, if it's any kind of mate, whatever it is, whoever it is, if they try to take you from God, they are of the lie. They are against Christ. They are not your friend. They are not your helper. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Now, underline it. We have overcome them. What does that mean? What does it mean that we have overcome them? We got the promise right from God that we have overcome them. We have already won, y'all. Well, what if there's more of them than there is of us?
Thank God.
That's a good question. So, have we ever seen in the Bible when there was a few people that belonged to God compared to a bunch of people that didn't belong to God? All right, those of you who are Bible students, give me a couple of those examples. How about Jonathan and his armor bearer? One of the great stories of the Bible that not many people know because we didn't get taught it when we were kids. But there was two of those guys against a whole bunch of folks. And Jonathan says these words, whether God can save with little or with few, He can do it. He can save whether He uses a couple of us or a bunch of us. Doesn't matter. So little doesn't matter. So we look at it. Well, look at this church building. Is that what you call this? Honest. Is that what you call this? You have never heard anybody come here and said, let's go to the church building. Nah. And then you go to some place where there's a nice big church building, and what do? Ooh. And how many numbers are there? And you know, in every church that I ever grew up in, ever was around, there was a little deal up at the front that had the attendance on it. And the truth is, they padded those numbers. I never did it, but I saw it done, you know. Nobody has ever seen me or will see me count how many show up on a Sunday. Somebody says, Rex, how many of y'all having on a Sunday morning? And I'll tell them, don't have a clue. Because I figure God knows if you're here and that's enough for me, right? Now, do I keep any kind of number of those people that have obeyed Jesus from their study and influence of this place? Yes, why? Because God did it in the book of Acts. And so I figure I better do it too. I don't know why I'm doing it, but that's what He said to do. All right. The point is, guys, it's not church buildings, it's not numbers, it's not singers, though we've got a great singer, it's not preachers, and we're not going to go there. I mean, it's not about padding on the pews. It's not about numbers. It's not about, well, that church is on every TV station. Okay. Okay. What does it prove? It doesn't prove anything except they got a lot of money. And I know how they got a lot of money. They got people to send it in. I have no power to get people to send it in. Let's try it. Somebody listening to my voice, send in money. We'll see what happens in the next week. If any money shows up, I'll let you know. You see the point? We've overcome them. It's not numbers. It's not size of the building. It's not majestic assemblies. It's the promise from God is we've overcome the world. We have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, because I know us, I'm going to say it. I got to speak some specifics. There's some of us in here that are hanging on, just barely hanging on. And sometimes it's because of financial stuff. And financial worries can, and lack of financial help can put you in a bind. And some of us know what that's like. Could put you right at the bind. Power's going to get cut off. Don't know what you're going to do when it gets cold. It can get you. But I think maybe worse than financial is when it's relationship. When the person that you loved, the person that you shared your life, body, heart with, has become hateful or cold or jealous or betrayer or whatever. Man, not only do you have physical challenges to that, you got emotional challenges to that. And on top of that, you got money issues. And then on top of that, you got family issues. And then it's not just, it's not just what happens between that man and that woman. It's what happens with those kids. And what happens to the kids and the families and all that that goes beyond that. In those moments, you know what you begin to believe? Anybody want to tell me? Because you've been there. Some of us have been there. When you get in those places, what do you begin to believe? There's nothing I can do. There's no hope. Now, there's something you do learn when you get to that point. Because when you get to the point of no hope and you hang on for one more day, you know what you learn? There's hope. If you hang on one more day, that may be the day that there's hope. I know. I'm telling you, I know. I was at that place, been at that place several times, but I know. I just didn't think there was any hope greater. Read it. The one in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Do you know what that means? The Spirit of God that He gave you when you became a Christian is in you. He is greater than any one of those spirits that's in the world. And it's honest, you know me. I've got enemies. I've got people that do not like me, and for good reason. Okay? You're not hearing me make excuses. There are people that I know who hate. I'm not overusing the word, and pray, probably on a regular basis, though I don't know how often they pray now, but on a regular basis they pray that God will destroy me or make me pay for the damage I've done. I understand their anger. I do, and I don't resent that. I accept that and just beg God, like David did, to remember, just protect me from blood guiltness, God. I know they do. They hate me and want bad things to happen to me. I accept their judgment. But greater is the one in me than the one that is in the world. I don't know who your enemy is. I don't know who you're having the biggest trouble with. It may be some person. It may be some emotion. But I guarantee you this. The one inside you, the Spirit of God, is greater than any of those. Now let me take a second. I know some of us really struggle with stuff inside. Things happen from the past and you can't get over them. Things happened your fault or the fault of somebody else and you can't get over it. You can't let it go. The truth is, the one that is in you is greater than those that are in the world. So that lie that lives in you, that lie that eats at you, that says you are damaged goods, that lie that says you don't deserve better, all of those lies, those don't compare to this truth, this promise. The one who is in you is greater than the one in them. If it's a person, if it's a feeling, it does not compare to the Spirit of God inside you. So what do you do? He says, dear children, you're from God. Number one, you've overcome them. Number two, number three, the reason you overcame because the one in you is greater than the one that's in the world. So what do you do? What do you do? Because it's not that simple when you're living it. It's not that simple when you're trying to work it all out and sort through it all. What do you do? Keep reading. It'll tell you. What do you do? There it is. See, it's extra donut. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. Folks, we do it all the time. We start looking at ourselves. We start looking at our mates. We start looking at our families. We start looking at our churches. And we see it from a world view. And be real honest, we ain't much from a world view. But we don't need to look at ourselves through the world view because we belong to God. So look at yourself from God's view. And from God's view, you are greater than anyone else in the world. Because greater is you than the one that's in the world. Now keep reading. We are from God. There's a second time he said it. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Now stop. So what do I do? If I, in this world, where I want to hang on to this thought, I am from God, I have overcome them. Doesn't feel like it. I still got bills to pay. I still got a mate that hates me. I still got, you know, you just run the list. You are from God. You have overcome them. And the one in you is greater than the ones in the world. So how do you deal with it? How do you live it? How do you get to that place? The ones who know God listens to us. You listen to the ones who knew Jesus. That's what he said. Look at verse 6. You listen to us. You listen to the ones that listened to Jesus. Now, did you notice? I'm not giving you some mystical, magical, mysterious thing out there. No, I'm telling you real plain, black and white, right in front of your Bible. He said, the ones that know God, listen to us. So if you know God, if you are from God, if the one in you is greater than the one that's in the world, if you have overcome them, what you do is you listen to the ones who listen to Jesus. And this particular fellow listened to Jesus. And here's what he said to do. In chapter 1 he said, acknowledge your sin, admit it. And He'll forgive you of all your unrighteousness. So quit dragging that baggage around. Chapter 2, he says, if we're going to listen to the one that listened to Jesus, chapter 2, he said, when you sin, understand that Jesus stands beside you and speaks in your defense. You are not alone in this deal. I don't know where the light bill's coming from. I don't know where the mortgage payment's coming from. I don't know if the wife's going to grow ever forgive you or the husband's ever going to love you again. I don't know those kind of things. I don't know that your child's going to accept your discipline. I don't know if they're going to come home again. I don't know those kind of things. I don't know if the cancer will be cured. I don't know if the baby will be born healthy. I don't know any of those things. Now, there are people that claim to, and if they do, that's okay by them. I don't know that stuff. But I know this. I know this. That we're not in this alone. And when we have tough times and we've made our own messes, He stands and speaks on our defense. Chapter 2 says so. So we admit what's happened in our lives and let Him forgive us. We stand before God and trust that He stands with us to defend us. In chapter 3, what do? We let our hearts rest. We set our hearts at rest knowing that God knows all things. So when your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. That's the promise. That's the promise people have that come from God, that have overcome. that have the one in them is greater than the one in the world. We just listen to those who listened to Jesus. Now I'm going to give you a peek. In chapter 5 he'll tell you, you need to ask God for what you want. We'll get there eventually because we'll just turn the page next week. I don't know how we tie this knot. But we're about to eat a supper with Jesus. We're about to eat a piece of cracker, unleavened bread that reminds us of His body. He put His body on the line. He put His body on a cross. He allowed Himself to be put in a position to be tortured and executed so we would have what He wants us to have. If He'd go that far, what do you think He'd do for you now? If He would go that far for you to save you, what do you think He'd do for you now? And then we're going to drink a little cup of grape juice. It's fruit of the vine. And we're going to remember His blood. He told us to do that. That's why we do it. And we're going to do that remembering that it's His blood that washed away those sins. I don't know about bank accounts or babies, but I know about this. The blood of Jesus will wash you clean on the first day you decide to follow Him, and then every day in between. He will keep washing away your sins. So as we eat this bread, as we drink this cup, we remember that. And if you can, leave your Bible open, or at least leave in your heart these words. We are from God. We have overcome them. And greater, the one in us is greater than the one that is in them. So let's listen. Let's listen to the ones that listen to Jesus. Okay?